We are on lesson six, page five. Lesson six, page five. Anybody need a page five? There's one over there. Anybody else? Lesson six, page five. Pass that down. Okay, little catch up here. We're talking about the effects of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And in A, we said, but if we don't have the Spirit, we are not Christ. Romans 8, 9 tells us that. Let's go to Romans 8, 9. If we don't have the Spirit, we don't have Christ. Romans 8, 9. Jerry.
Romans 8, 9.
Excuse me, go to Romans 8 and 8, 9.
Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him.
Okay, what does that mean? Anybody who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. What does that mean?
It means Christ and the Spirit are one and the same.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yes.
So you can go to a Christian church. You can have somebody. You can have a whole bunch of people who profess Christ. But if this, and how do we know we have the Spirit of Christ in us? How do we know that? Or put a better way, how do we know we have the spiritual DNA of Christ? How do we know that? You strive for holiness, yep, righteousness, holiness, what else?
How do we personally know it?
Yeah.
Well, we change, and our habits, we get rid of those bad
we
habits.
Become a new creature, yep. How else?
That's 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Yes, yes.
The things of God are more important to us than anything.
That's correct, and there's one that we all forget, and we should really put it in the top of the list, Ephesians 2:16. 2 Corinthians 2:16. Duh. 2 Corinthians 2:16. You should really always remember that that's really the first thing. The Holy Spirit, and then after the Holy Spirit comes the mind of Christ. Go ahead and read it, Carrie. That kid looks just like he walked out of a Norman Rockwell painting. Excuse me, I'm an artist. I really am too.
1 Corinthians 2:16.
Oh, you said second. Yeah, I know. I wanted somebody to correct me. How's that for a pivot? Okay, Carrie, 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, that means that you can open up this book and you can understand the spiritual ramifications of it.
Verse 14 verifies that.
Yes, and verse 14 says, the natural man discerneth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and neither can he know them. They're foolishness to him. So 14 says, tells you about those that don't have the Spirit of Christ. And 16 tells us about those who do have the mind of Christ. And I got to tell you something. You should ponder that. Take a little time in the course of some day, like tomorrow, and think about just that you have the mind of Christ, that you have the ability to understand the spiritual things of God. And just think about that. And then think, well, what do I understand? I understand what salvation is. I understand that there's an eternal state. I understand there's a heaven and a hell, and I'm going to heaven. I understand that he died for me. You have all this understandings, and you can apply the spiritual aspects of that understanding to your life. And what that does is it helps you grow. You know, you don't have to always just read something. Sometimes read something and digest it. Let it sink in. Let it go from your mind to your heart. And then from your heart into your life or into somebody else's life. Just stop and think about it. There's a message coming. Yes, Daddy's got a question. What is it, Dad?
I'm going to mention that another sign of life is revelation starts to happen. As you follow the process, things start to become clearer to
yes.
you, and then you realize things that are very...
The plan of God becomes, the providential plan of God becomes, you become aware of it, that nothing happens by accident. The idea that all things work together for good tells you that you really can't make a bad decision, even if it kills you. It's not a bad decision. It'll work out for your good. And you also know that you have somebody who will fight for you, somebody who will help you, somebody that will take care of you, and somebody who promised I'll never leave you or forsake you. All comes from having the mind of Christ. So when you're in those dark nights, they're not as dark. Because above the darkness is always the silver cloud. Always. And so by having the mind of Christ, you go through the dark cloud, not by yourself, but with him, until you're on the silver side of it, and then you deal with it, and then that's when you can say, I care, but I don't care. When you can look at that dark cloud from the silver side, you will say, I care, but I don't care. I care because it might hurt, but I don't care because ultimately I'm glorifying God and it's going to work out for my good. That's it. Exactly right. That was the whole premise of that statement. Your faith has overcome the world. So regardless of what happens with you in the world, it's going to work out for your good. And to be Dylan's age or Paxton's age and have this great knowledge and the Lord calling you and stirring your heart to come to know him means that as he grows up, he'll have knowledge above all of his peers. And the reason he'll have knowledge is because he'll have the knowledge he's learning in school, but he'll have the mind of Christ to look into Scripture and see how everything lines up. So now we'll walk through the world with two eyes open. You know, when we went through the world, we didn't go through this world with two eyes open. We went through this world sometimes blind. As a matter of fact, that's what 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, or 4:4 says, that the God of this world has blinded you. So when you go through this world without Christ, you're really blinded to the real truth. There was another sermon online that says reality check. And what that sermon was about was looking at things as they are, not as you want them to be. And so with this mind of Christ, all that comes into play, and it really helps out a lot. Hey, how are you? Okay, so then we'll move on. It says, we may be members of his visible church. We may be externally united to him by association with his people. And we looked at Ezekiel 33, 31, and 32. Let's look at Mark 7:6. Mark 7:6. Ron.
Mark 7:6. He had to sit down to them. What happened?
And then 7 sums it up. Verses 6 and 7 apply to the mainstream 21st century evangelical church. That they go to church, they honor him with their lips and their songs, but their heart is far away from them. How do we know that's true? Because they don't believe in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And then it says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, if God says abortion is wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter whether you as a man agree with that or don't agree. If you don't agree with God, then you're in error and you are in sin. It's that simple. Very, very simple stuff. Easy to understand. How about Titus 1:6? And by the way, I use that a lot. If you haven't noticed, I used abortion a lot. I use same-sex marriage a lot. I use it a lot because it is filled our world. Titus 1:6. Joanne.
Titus 1:6. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination.
Okay. I don't know where that came from, but
qualification.
Yeah, it's a qualification. I know what it is, but I don't know why I used it in this specific thing. So in other words, what Paul says in all of his epistles, what Peter says in his epistles, all of them say the same thing. You will find in the church heresies. You will find in the church people who are abusing and or neglecting God's word. And we're to find those people and straighten them out or excommunicate them. It's that simple. And that's another word you don't hear too much in a church today, do you? Excommunicado. You don't hear that too often in the church, right? But it is. I know. Fortunately, we have a new crowd. Okay. But unless we are partakers of that vital union which arises from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are His only by name. Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. Andrew. And let's see, do we want to go up any further? Yeah, let's say 19, 20, and 21. 22. Yeah. I like 20 though. Go ahead. Go with 20. Start at 20.
20 to 21?
Just keep going.
16 to 20. All right, you cut me off. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Okay. That is another biblical absolute truth, that saying Lord, Lord, and claiming Christ in name only will do you no good. You get no benefit out of knowing His name and using His name, even if it's not in vain. You get no benefit from that at all. And there's so many verses in Scripture. Who knows what James 1:22 says? James 1:22. That should be one very simple one. Be doers of the word, right? You can't just say, I love you, Jesus, I love your cross, I love your church, I love to come to church, I love to throw money in a bucket, sing, pray, go home, and do my thing. You can't do that. You can't do that. You do His thing, not your thing. And if you're not doing His thing, you're doing your thing, then you're just wasting your time. Instead of going to church, you should really just go fishing. Maybe catch lunch or something. All right, how about Luke 6:46? Luke 6:46. June. Oh. Wait a minute. Let me just get there for a second.
I'm not there yet either. Luke 22? Okay, I'm getting there. Okay.
Go to 6:45 and 46.
Six. I'm turn to the next one. Sorry. Six forty-six. Would you say start with?
6:45.
Okay. Luke 6:45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?
Boom. Okay? You can't partake of the benefits and blessings of Christ without partaking of the Holy Spirit first. And you can't partake of the Holy Spirit unless God calls you, and only then will you be regenerated and all the other blessings we talked about will come to you. You can't do it just by going to church. I have heard people say that. I've heard people say there's Easter and Christmas Christians that I don't know why they do that. I discourage it because it really makes their lot worse with God. Why? Why do you think I would say that? Why going to church on two major holidays and that's it makes a person's makes a person's responsibility with God even worse.
You're mocking him.
You're mocking him. You're saying, oh, yeah, I believe that that Jesus is about Christmas. Well, Santa Claus, too, but, you know. And you're mocking him. And at Easter, the same thing, the resurrection. Yeah, we believe in that, but the Easter bunny's there. And let's don't forget the Easter egg hunt and all the other stuff. You're mocking God. And we can smile about it, but the fact of the matter is, I know for a fact that God doesn't like to be mocked at all. And woe to them that have the attitude that it's okay to do it. Woe to them. That's why I tell people, don't go to church. And I'm helping them, because every time they do that, they're mocking God, and that just is a greater a greater penalty that they'll face when they're judged. Everything is being written down. Everything. Okay, number five. The Holy Spirit visits many who are unregenerate with inferior grace, which they resist and quench. What was the difference between the two types of grace? Inferior grace and superior grace. What is inferior grace, first of all? Who remembers?
Is that when the Holy Spirit gives them a certain amount of hedge of protection because they're part of a plan, overall plan?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's when the Holy, inferior grace is when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit enables a person to do things that they need to do as part of God's plan, but there is no intent of salvation with inferior grace. There's no intent of salvation. Superior grace is exactly the same thing, but it has its intentions is ultimately that you will be saved. That's the difference between the two. And you should remember them, because they're really good terms that describe it pretty well.
In other words, when God used Pharaoh, he just used him.
Yes. And when we look at Numbers 22 and 22 through 35, let's go to Numbers 22 through 35. And let's start reading. Tom, pick up a few verses and then pass it down to Anne Marie and then to Carrie. Everybody read a few verses. Numbers 22, chapter 22, starting in verse 22 to 35.
And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Helen's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Helen. And Helen's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Thank you.
struck your donkey these three times. Behold, I have come out to oppose you, because your way is perfect before me.
Perverse.
Oh.
Catch it.
That was just a word malfunction.
Right.
Okay? So you know, the thing that always got me about that is that when Balaam said in verse 29, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? And yeah. Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me. I mean, if you're riding on a donkey and all of a sudden a donkey turns around and talks to you, the last thing I'm going to think about is, because this happened.
Yeah.
What is this?
You just spoke.
I mean, that's the thing. He wasn't. And the second thing I notice here is that the angel of the Lord was standing in three different places to block his progression, okay?
Yeah.
And it shows you that there are spiritual forces in play all around us every single moment of our life. There's spiritual forces around us, good and evil. And for those that know Christ as their Savior, you have, I like to think it's a little platoon of guardian angels, specific angels that are assigned to take care of us and help us in our life through working out our salvation in God's plan. And so when I read this, that's what I get. And when I look at our handout, we see that even the unregenerate have that inferior grace. And that inferior grace was the angel of the Lord opening Balaam's eyes so that he could see his angel. And how about 1 Samuel 28? 1 Samuel 28. Liz, would you read 28:11 through 17? Somebody took my magic marker.
I didn't take it.
No, somebody took it. Why would they do that?
They borrowed it.
Yeah. 28:11 through 17.
Okay. 1 Samuel 28:11 through 17.
Yep.
Then the woman
That's David.
Said, whom shall I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage.
Okay. Everybody see that, right? Where was Samuel? Where
paradise.
Was he?
Paradise.
He was in paradise, right?
Yep.
Come up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And also, the woman, she was, what was the woman? Fortune teller, but she was, she was like a medium, you know?
Yeah, medium.
In other words, a medium is one who speaks to spirits. It's funny, I had, yeah.
Supposedly.
I've been wanting to ask about that.
Well, here you go. Why? You should never be afraid. This is a family. You should never be afraid to ask any questions, really.
She wants to become a medium, and she wasn't sure how the church would take it. Well, that's why you would be afraid.
She used the wrong word. It's not that she is afraid. I know that if you're a new Christian and something is in your mind that you don't bring it up because it's not that you're afraid. It's just that you don't know if it's the thing to do. That's how you tell, okay? So what is it you need to know?
If there was something in the Bible that said that mediums don't exist.
They do exist, but they don't have the power that this one did because the Lord did this, not her. How do we know that's true?
Right in the text you see
it. Yeah, where is it? Senator?
Verse 11, that the woman said that she was talking to Saul, whom should I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel for me. This is verse 11. Then in verse 12.
There it is, 12.
Well, now 12 is where you see the woman.
And she cried.
She was doing it. She was fake.
Yeah.
And she was used to bringing up people.
They all are.
All of a sudden, Samuel comes up. So it says, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. She went, whoa, this really happened. This guy came up. She didn't expect it.
why is that?
Because it never happened before.
You are Saul. She knew exactly who it was. She was used to bring up. If any, it could be a demonic spirit or anything.
She was just that, as shocked
was
as
that.
She was surprised as
Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, that is an occasion where God gave inferior grace to a sorcerer to do something that he needed to have done. They don't do that. There are no souls to ever talk to in this world. When a person dies, the Bible makes it abundantly clear. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. It's that simple. There's no loose souls. There's none wandering. They have television shows, the paranormal, all those other things. They give it all the names they want, right? The ghost in Mrs. Muir used to be a popular one a long time ago, right? And there are none. The Bible makes it clear. So
what?
There aren't. Been any mediums since man. No, there are mediums, but they're fraudulent.
Okay.
They can't speak to human beings. They cannot. They may give you the impression that they're talking to them, or they may do this because they're charlatans. There's little tricks to it. There was another TV show where a guy was a magician and he worked with the police to bring out, oh, I forget his name now. He was a psychic guy, right? And he proved that there was no psychic. But anyway, there is none. The Bible makes it clear. So that doesn't mean that a sorcerer is not speaking to evil spirits. That's a possibility.
Yes,
that they are, whoever they're speaking to is not human, but it is evil, period. Because every human being that dies goes to one or two places. You do not linger in this world. No soul does. And there's a certain church that has 1 billion people in it that believes in a place called...
Purgatory.
No, there's another place. Limbo. They believe in limbo. Like, there's no limbo.
I didn't, that's a church. Like, a church has that doctrine. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought it just was a terrible.
Limbo is for children. Limbo is for children.
Oh, and that's sometimes I say, oh, I feel like I'm in limbo, I'm not saying that much, but I'm not saying it anymore.
Well, that's a man-made place. There's no such place as purgatory. There's no such place in the Bible. So that means that if you are a fortune teller, as a matter of fact, the Bible gives us admonitions to have nothing to do with them because they are of the devil. They are not of us.
Well, I was going to say, there are people out there that practice their mediums, that maybe tarot cards, go to the psychic, and many of them are just functioning with tricks, a bag of tricks.
Exactly.
They know what to say.
All of them.
I'm saying any one of them has given themselves a permission for Satan to have direct access. So when you show up to get, it's fun, I just do it once a year, because that's what I hear people say. And I think you just brought the rush of evil spirits into your space.
I would say this, you don't have to give the devil permission. He'll take it.
Right, well that too, right.
But what happens is...
innocent ones, like innocent, they're not trying to, because some really, I think, are on the dark side and want the access to Satan. But then Satan's going to capitalize on that.
I think that what people are misled by is they think that people actually have the ability to speak to human beings that have passed, and you can't. You can't. And they never will.
No.
And if you're not in Christ, you'll never see that person again. It's that simple. And so what they're doing is, they're, in this case, God has given inferior grace, gave inferior grace to that sorcerer, so that she could do his will and bring up Samuel. But it doesn't happen and it hasn't happened, in my view, since then. I don't see any other event in Scripture where that happened again. One time. It's sort of like, in the back of the bulletin, there's something that says something like, why is it that bad things happen to good people? And the answer to that is, it only happened one time, and he volunteered. Christ, right? So what ends up happening is the same thing is there, that it was a one-time event. It's not there. And for people who go to those people, if you're a Christian, that is a no-no. You don't have anything to do with sorcerers. You don't have anything to do with
horoscopes.
Yeah. All of that stuff, New Age, you know, and you know, there's certain metaphysical things that have some bearing on human beings, but nothing in the spiritual realm outside of Christ. Everything is evil. Andrew.
God will never replicate anything he does again. Like, the donkey's never going to happen.
Yep.
I'm not going to hear an animal speak. And that's something that did happen, but it was for a special occasion. The other one is, if you run into a psychic, ask them to tell their own future to you and spend a week with them and see if it happens.
Yeah.
They can't do anything.
I had that happen with a guy that was part of the... he was in Brownsville, Texas. That's where the cult group is. I forget the name of it now. Yeah, no, it was the one, he had a gift of raising the dead. And so I said, man, you don't know how glad I am to see you. I just had an uncle pass, and let's go. Come on, let's go. I got the gas money. Let's go raise my uncle. I want to see you do that, and I'm going to join your cult if you do. Well, he had every reason in the world not to go, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Everybody get that? You are commanded not to have anything to do with with anything that has to do with the occult. Right? The occult, that's the right word, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that would include New Age stuff as well. I saw a hand.
It's in the Bible.
He probably was, but they weren't people. Yeah, they weren't what he thought they were, exactly. Okay, somebody else, okay.
When Saul saw Samuel, and he knew it was Samuel, he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Did he bow to Samuel, or did he bow to God?
He bowed to Samuel.
He bowed to Samuel.
He bowed to Samuel.
So he did not credit God with bringing Samuel
Correct.
Up.
Well, I don't know if he credited God or not, but he did the wrong thing by worshiping Samuel.
Samuel up to
He
was honoring a prophet.
That's the other thing, yeah.
Saul had already had all the sorcerers of the land killed at this point. So when he went to this woman, she learned two things. She learned, number one, this is really Samuel. And the guy that made me bring him up is the king who killed him while the other sorcerer was like me.
Yeah. And so the difference is, Andrew, the difference is you bow to somebody in respect, not in worship.
That's right.
Exactly. So that's why he was doing it.
Oh, okay.
It was respect.
People Lord, was never meant to call them Lord like God.
With a big L.
Just being respectful.
Yeah, especially in England and those places.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Luke 22:3. David.
Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12.
Okay. So here we have somebody that was given inferior grace. Mm-hmm. Judas Iscariot, Demas were two.
Mm-hmm.
They were given a measure. An inferior grace means a measure of grace to do God's will with things they couldn't do without it, but never was salvation a part of that equation. That's why it's inferior. And
I don't like the term.
I'm searching.
Well, it's a Calvinistic term to
say. Oh, no. I didn't get it from a Calvinistic term. I don't think that that's what it is. I think it really does explain it because
the word grace makes people think it's a good thing.
Favor. Yeah, it almost sounds like favor. I can see what the answer is.
Yeah. I don't know how else to put it.
You can say it.
They're basically being used as an instrument of God, not for their own benefit and not for any, and they don't realize it. Time that they're unsafe. So like Judas, he was receiving the Spirit, he thought, he was doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't getting any kind of real grace from that. There was no
God was, I don't. The term isn't, the term wasn't referring to the person, it was referring to the act of the person. Yeah. Yeah. So it isn't that the person receives the grace, it's that the person is receiving the power to produce something that God wants produced, not for them, but for somebody else.
For him.
For him. Okay. Let's move on. Second Timothy 4:10. Second Timothy 4:10. Loretta.
For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica.
Okay. What did Demas, who was Demas? Who was he, by the way?
I think he was he an elder in the church there?
No.
No? He was higher up or something, right?
He worked with Paul.
Somebody tell me who Demas was.
He's a scribe for Paul.
A traitor.
Excuse me?
He was a scribe for Paul at one point.
Yep. He was the clerk in the head office of the first church. He was a clerk. In other words, he wrote letters. You see his name. Okay. Yeah. So, and there's other ones that says that this was written by Demas. So he wrote it, and he was there. He was with Peter, Paul, Luke, Mark. So he knew them all, and it goes to show you how counterfeit a Christian can be, a tare can be, or a weed. It shows you just how counterfeit they can be. That nobody knew it. Nobody sensed it, either with Judas or with Demas. Yes, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. So he took off.
He was finishing. You got to remember something. When the Bible, in the original language, there is no punctuation. And sentences drag on. It's only when they canonized it that they broke it down into chapters, verses. And you're saying it's in four what? Yeah. And Luke is with me. Let's see, departed.
It's really specific about why Demas left.
No, okay, here it is. Look at. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
See if you does after the word Thessalonica, do you have any punctuation?
Have a period.
Semicolon.
That means
I have semicolon.
What do you have?
Yeah.
Okay, that's new thought. New thought.
Yeah. Right. So,
okay.
I guess he's saying
you're joining something.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So in other words, Crescens and Titus, exactly. Those must have been the people that were with him. Exactly.
You're out of here.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're not watching.
Yes, I was, but I wanted to wait. I didn't want to go without
you. Davis is the only one with a tagline that we know for sure didn't do the right thing.
Everybody understand that?
The translators knew where to put the period because they
I have a semicolon. What do we have, David?
Yeah.
Same thing.
So they knew they didn't have punctuation back then. They would need to do some of the translating in a specific way so we understand what the original language is.
All right. We'll stop on number five. Any questions? Any thoughts?
I just want to show it to you. So we have the number. We call them.